Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
I'm going to talk to you more today about the subject of honor. It's almost an extinct virtue in our culture and in our society. And honor means this. Honor is from the Greek word timios, and that word means valuable, costly, esteemed, beloved, dear, and precious. We must have an increase of honor in our church family. In other words, we've got to have a house full of people that begin with the belief that all people have value. I'm going to say that again. We have to grow in our understanding that all people have value, because that is where honor begins. And in a culture where the idea of honor is almost extinct, we have a tremendous opportunity to be on the front edge of something that will be transformational in the lives of the people around us. Because here's what I can promise you. As you and I, as we grow in honor, it will change the environment of our lives. When we grow in honor, it'll change the environment of our households. When we grow in honor, it'll change the environment in our workplace. When we grow in honor, it will change our church. It'll change our schools. It will change our city. It will change everything about our lives. How many of you think if tomorrow every student that goes to school, if they could have magically deposited into their life the virtue of honor in God's fullest measure, how many of you think that would change the teacher's day tomorrow at school? How many of you think that would change the learning environment? How many of you would think that would change the world really, really quickly? It would, wouldn't it? So let me ask you a question. If you believe it would change, if it was present in the lives of students, why don't we ask God to allow that change to begin in us and with us and through us? And what I'm looking for is some people who will have a heart that volunteers and says, God, use me to spread the life and the virtue that's contained in honor to the world around me. If you really believe it will change in that environment, then it must, by default, change in any and all environments. And so why don't we kind of pursue this journey together? So one thing that gets on my nerves, it kind of frustrates me a little bit, is from time to time, I've done it, so I'm not picking on everyone, because I've done it. We've all done this. I have a tendency to sometimes say, man, this next generation, these young people, I'm like flirting with 40 right now. Flirting. I haven't decided to get engaged to it or married to it yet. I'm just flirting with 40, all right? And so I find myself saying things like, this younger generation, and the problem with these young people, I know nobody in here said that. That was in the 9 a.m. crowd where all the old people go, right? So this younger generation. And then I have to stop and ask myself a question. Wait a minute. Who has the most potential to speak into their life and change them if the generation ahead of them doesn't do it? Who's going to do it? In other words, you can't blame the younger generation if you're in charge of raising the younger generation. You got to point the finger back at you and say, wait a minute, why are my children not honoring my wife? Why are my children, if they're not, why are my children not honoring my household? Why are my children not honoring the things of God? Why are my children not honoring the rules. Let me just submit something. Don't be offended by it, but maybe, just maybe, you could up the game of honor in your world by example. And here's what I've found. People do what people see other people do. The greatest form of leadership is not eloquent speech. It's not enticing words. It's not an ability to communicate. It's not charisma. It's not charm. The greatest form of leadership is example. And I believe the world is crying out for some people who will just say what they mean and mean what they say and live their values out loud whenever possible.
Yes. Amen.
That will change us. You want to invite God into your environment? Begin to deal with people with a spirit and an attitude of honor. We saw last week how when Jesus was dishonored, the word dishonor simply means to be treated as common or ordinary. When we treat things as common and ordinary, we dishonor them. And when we dishonor things, we cut ourselves off from the blessing that they carry. In other words, you can say it this way. Every single person has value. But when you don't value every single person, you cut yourself off from the reward of the God-given ability and talent that's been planted on the inside of them because you don't value it and you don't receive it for what it is, a gift from God. Have you ever looked at someone and thought, they get on my nerves? Nobody here's ever done that, I'm sure. But I've noticed something when I've done this. It's very difficult to receive from someone who gets on your nerves. It's very hard to have someone who gets on your nerves add value back to you. It's hard to get everything that God has planted on the inside of them out of them when you don't value them. It's also really, really difficult to value someone and criticize them at the same time. Can I just say something to you? Why we got to criticize so much? Not you necessarily, but maybe you. If it applies to you, someone says, he's talking to me. Well, who do you want me to talk to? I'll talk to the people online. Can we just not criticize as much as we have been? Can we just kind of bring the criticism down? What would happen in your house if over a 36-hour period of time, nobody in your house criticized you and you criticized nobody? Would that change the environment of your house? How many would like think, man, that would be really neat if that could happen for like, maybe we could just get through one 30-minute television program. Is there anything wrong with criticism? Not necessarily. But is there something wrong with a critical attitude and spirit? Yes, absolutely. One that's just compelled to do that. There's a form of dishonor in that. It's a very powerful thing. Now, critique is good. Critical spirit is bad. Critique looks at my son and says, Jake, you got this, but if I see you one more time walking around without that brace, I'm going to strangle you. Why? Because I value him. And I know that what's been done could be undone, and so I'll bring some critique. But if I'm constantly badgering him, saying, man, why don't you use your brains? Why don't you stop acting like your mom and think for a minute? So that wouldn't be, well, how many agree that would not be smart? So let me ask you a question. If I shouldn't do that, why would you?
Yeah, come on.
If I wouldn't, if you would say, Josh, you as a leader, as a pastor, you shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't act that way. You shouldn't do those things.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why would you be allowed to do it then? I'm just curious. If it's not good for me to do it. See, listen. We all I'll lead by example. I'll go first. I'll be the first one to serve and say, hey, I'm gonna, and this is the way I'm serving, is saying, we need to increase our attitude and spirit of honor, and I'm gonna go first, and I'm gonna do my best to lead the way, knowing that at some points in times I'm gonna fail. Now that's not an excuse, it's just a reality. Sometimes I'm gonna fail, but I'm gonna get back up and I'm gonna do it again, because this is what God is saying needs to happen to increase our spiritual impact in the world around us. The verse of scripture that I love, that founds and is formational, foundational, is 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Here's what the verse says. Honor all people. Value, the word means valuable, precious, costly. All people are valuable. All people are costly. All people are precious. How valuable are they? They're so valuable that God sent the only thing that he had one of to pay the price for us. How many are glad Jesus paid the price for you? Yeah. He paid a high price, right? But he also paid that same high price for the person that you don't want to be in your world right now. And it's okay. You don't have to invite them back in necessarily. And last week, this is so interesting. Last week, let me finish the verse. I'm so excited. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, honor all men. Last weekend, after every service, I had men come up to me, males. Last weekend was Mother's Day. I had men come up to me in every service. I was shocked by this. I had men come up to me in every service and say, Josh, God was really speaking to me very strongly through this idea of honor. My wife and I, we got into an argument before we came to church today. I went off on my wife. We exchanged unhealthy words. We had an unhealthy exchange of dialogue. Every service, a different man came up to me. Some services, multiple. And in my mind, I thought, my God, man, you can't even keep it together for Mother's Day before church starts? Then I said, wow, what an amazing heart response that would humble themselves and acknowledge to another man, I missed it in this area with my wife, and I want you to pray, and I want to do better, and we need honor in our household, and I'm seeing that, and I'm going to lead by example. And when I realized that's what they were saying, my heart got so encouraged. I was like, we got this. God is doing something, and God is increasing the honor in our household, and there's no common households in this place. There's no ordinary households. You are not married to an ordinary person. Somebody say amen to that. You do not have ordinary common children. You do not have an ordinary common house. You do not have an ordinary common life. Your cat, your dog, your bird, your rabbit, they are not common. They are not ordinary. They, all of those things are a reflection of how good God has been to you. If you're married and you're seated with your spouse, I want you to look at them. This is your reminder of how good God has been to you. Treat one another. If your kids are in this room, if your family and friends are in this room, listen. Treat them not as common and ordinary, but honor them and treat them as extremely valuable, because they are. This morning, I was getting ready and I was playing some music, and I just started a playlist and just played it. And just so you know, it wasn't all Christian music, so don't freak out by that. But right in the middle of getting ready, a song that I didn't know was in the list came on. And I don't remember the artist's name, but the name of the song is You Should Be Here. It's a country song. Cole Swindell. Okay, good. Thank you. I knew one of you rednecks would know who it was. I would only say that to Mike. I only would say it to Mike. No, there's a couple others. Yeah, I would say it to you too. All right, I'm sorry. It came on, and it talks about that there's a person, when there's a person that's absent from your life on a big day, and the emotions that you go through when you miss that person, and man, you should be here, you'd love this, you'd be having a big time, and all these sorts of things. And my mind was flooded, and I was overcome with emotion. Today we're getting ready to celebrate something massive, and I was thinking, man, my mom should be here, but she's not here. Here's what I want you to know. That person has extreme value, and one day they may not be here to celebrate with you. Celebrate now. Honor them now. Don't wait until they're in the casket to say nice words about them. Tell them now. Love them now. Honor them now. Change a life now.
Amen.
Now. Honor begins with the belief that every person has value. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor all men. Listen to these verses that I'm going to read as we're going to finish up. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 15. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Here's what I want you to understand. Not only does honor begin with the belief that all people are valuable, but honor originates in the heart. Honor is a heartfelt thing. It has to be in here. Because if it's not in here, and you try to say it out of here, it isn't going to have any power. You want to know why you feel someone's words? Because they feel it first inside. It's real to them. It's alive to them. I have people tell me, I think it's an incredible honor. It's incredibly kind. Man, Josh, I wish I could just get a little bit of your passion. I can feel what you're saying at times. Your passion is just, it just fills the room. It just helps fill me up. It helps get me through the day. Listen, you cannot get that from someone who doesn't have it alive inside of them. And Jesus said, people will try to honor you and say things with their lips, but if it's not in their heart, it won't carry that oomph. That's why on Sunday morning, we can stand here and read the words off the screen. And we can sing. And we can use our lips to say honoring words, but it lack heartfelt conviction. See, it's from when it's in our heart, when it's deep down inside of us, that it'll begin to affect change. And I want that honor to be deep down in my heart. How do I get it there? First off, you get there by believing that all people have value. And you just let that settle in. And then you build on it by saying, wait a minute. And you, by being honest and saying, I need some more honor in my household. I need to value things. God's been good to me. Everything's not perfect in my world. Everything's not perfect in my world. But God has been good to me. And there's some stuff that I wish was different. But God's been good to me. And I'm going to honor everybody I can. Here's the second objection that I heard over every service last week. Josh, what about the... In essence, it was this question. Josh, what about the extreme case of the person who's done me wrong? And what about the person that I can't honor? And essentially what they're saying is this, because until I can honor all people, I can't all honor some people. And that barrier is there. Maybe you have a relationship with someone. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a coworker. And you feel like, and I think this is real, someone says, man, I just feel like a hypocrite because I can't honor everybody and I'm really struggling with this person. Listen, let me ask you to do something. Put that off to the side for a minute and start with someone that you can honor and start feeding that part of your life and be consistent and say, I can honor them and I feel it in my heart. And I'm going to show them honor. I'm going to do something special. I'm not going to get hung up on the people I can't get there with yet. I'm going to start with the people that I can get there with right now. That's where I'm going to start. Because see, if you don't start where you are, you'll stay where you are. And that honor coming from a heartfelt place is an incredible, incredible thing that will change our households. Daniel's going to come and help me because I'm out of time. And we're all going to be generous here in a minute. And some of you came prepared to give a special offering for the building campaign. And we're going to receive that here in just a couple minutes. But as we're finishing up, I just want to say a couple things before we do that. All honor originates from the heart. It's heartfelt. And so I want to say this to us. I want us to be heart people. I want you to have permission to be heart people. What's that mean? Be vulnerable. Be courageous enough to lead with your heart. I don't know if you appreciate this or not, but I appreciate it when I know where I know where I stand with people. I like to know where I am with them. Even if that means I know they think I'm a jackhole. And it might be shocking. There's people out there, they don't like me. Not very many. Just maybe like one or two. So you're okay, all right? You're okay. But to go forward anyway, knowing and not being stuck on those things. But I'd rather know that they don't like me than not know where I stand with them. And I like to be that kind of person if I can be. To let people know exactly where they are. To wear my heart on my sleeve. To be a heart person. To lead with my heart. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart that your mouth is going to communicate what you speak and what you feel. The proverb writer says this in Proverbs 3:9. He says this, honor, well, he back up in verse 5, he says, you know this verse, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And in verse 9 says this, honor the Lord. He's connecting a heart with honoring God. And here's how he says this is one way we can honor God. We can honor the Lord with our possessions. The King James I like better. And it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. With your stuff. With who you are. With everything you've got. See, listen. When you become a heart person, you lead with your heart. You honor the Lord. Then you're in a position then to give him back everything that you can. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of it, with all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you don't have to turn there, it's going to read it to you. They're getting ready to build God's house. Here's what David says. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. He brought his own special offering. In addition to what he normally would bring, he brought something extra. But I want you to see this in verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. Would everybody say willingly? Willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So here was the pattern. David gave out of a heart that was affectionate for God's house. He honored God through a heartfelt expression of generosity. The people loved it, and they got involved. And they did the exact same thing. I'm not going to tell you the amount, but Angie and I have brought a meaningful sacrifice with us today. Because our heart is with this house. And I'm just asking, if your heart is with this house, would you please just honor him with what you can? Can I tell you this? What Angie and I have brought, I wish it was more. I wish we could do more. But you know what I'm not going to let happen? I'm not going to let what I can't do stop me from what I can do. And so many times we get locked up, and here's what we do. We dishonor the possessions that we have to bring by saying it's not big enough. It's not significant enough. It's not valuable enough. And what do? You block yourself off from an opportunity to express honor to God's house because you devalue your gift because it isn't the size that you think it ought to be. And I'm asking you, don't do that. Honor him with what you have, not what you don't have. And do not leave this place under condemnation. Do not leave this place with pressure attached to your life. Let what you give be a reflection of a joyful, glad heart that wants to honor God. You know what I believe? I believe that God sees what we do and what we want to do. And there's a lot of things that we could talk about and look at. I believe this, and we can look at it from Scripture. God gives you credit not only for what you do, but what you want to do. And I got a bigger want to on the inside of me than what I'm able to express. But I've got a heartfelt connection with what I am able to express. And Angie and I and our family, we're bringing something here because we want to honor God. And we can see something. We can see something. Listen, we have just embarked on a journey that's never been done before. What we're about to do, nobody's ever done it before. Here. Like we're doing it with the people that we're doing it with. In other words, nobody else in the history of the world has come in to Madison Elementary and started a church and renovated it and took step after step after step. Nobody else in the history of the world has God entrusted to walk out this vision except us. We get to do this. We get to do it. And God has honored us to be able to do this. And 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, nobody will be able to take it away from us. Those of us whose heartfelt lives were connected to what God wanted to do. Nothing, no power, no death, no devil, no thing can take it away from us that we stepped out and we honored God and we did the bold and we did the courageous and we did the incredible and God got involved and we did the impossible. Nobody can take that away. So I'm honored to be able to do this with you and for us to be able to do it together. And I cannot wait to see what God, I love what God is doing now. And I'm looking forward to what God is doing next. And there's nothing more exciting to a visionary person type than me, like me, than to have some crazy dream that's been rolling around in your skull for 15 years and be able to see it in a first step that God made the invisible visible. He didn't just do it in the creation at the beginning and stop. He's still doing it now through the power of His Spirit and through the power of those who will honor Him, making the invisible visible. There are people who are invisible from the kingdom of God that as a result of our honoring and obedience will be visible in this kingdom of God. In other words, there are people that if the world were to end today would not be in eternity with us, but because of God's grace and us continuing to follow Him and honor Him, there will be people for all eternity long present with us and present with Christ because God sent the only thing that He had one of, and we had the courage and the faith to obey Him and take a significant step. Please don't underestimate the value of that. Please don't devalue whatever it is that you have in your heart to honor God with. If it's a dollar, then let your heart scream and shout over that dollar. If it's a million, let your heart scream and shout over that million. We'll join you. And everything in between, let's honor God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? The ushers are going to help us in just a minute. But before we do, you don't have a relationship with Jesus if you don't. Today's your day to take a step toward Him. You say, Josh, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I want to have a relationship with Jesus. And I need to have a relationship with Jesus. Listen to me. I'm not talking about the person who you messed up this week. You kicked the dog on your way out of the house before you went to work because you were upset. I'm talking about your center focus is not Jesus Christ. That your every breath is not dependent on the reality that Jesus was beaten and bruised and mocked and died and was raised from the dead to pay for your sin. And you don't walk in the reality of that. And you know you have a need of a risen Christ. And you want to make a decision today, maybe for the very first time, or you've been away from God and you want to take a step toward Him today. If that's you on either one of those things in this place, watching online, would you just quickly lift your hand? I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I want to pray with you. But if you're that in that situation, I don't want you to leave without knowing that you'll spend eternity with Christ. Anybody need to make that decision? Okay, good. That's awesome. Can y'all pray this prayer out loud with me? As if you're praying it for the very first time. Everybody say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son. Thank You that He died for me. Thank You that He was raised from the dead. Just for me. I believe in my heart. And I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin. And I turn to Your Son. And I will follow Him all the days of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Somebody make some noise.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.